you know, Identity Wars bonus version, bonus video. I noticed my whole life, because I've had 120 jobs my whole life, and I've always worked two or three jobs. Sometimes it was two part-time, and sometimes it was, you know, my own little business doing different things. Anyway, I worked my way through college. So in the summer, you might change jobs because you make some more money or something. I've noticed my whole life how some of these people that you work with try to put some kind of identity on you. You can manage your house and manage your stuff, and you can manage your job. But because a lot of times they can't manage theirs, they have to try to blame it on somebody else. Blame shift and project some kind of identity. In the corporate system, you'll see all these mind games, and it's really trying to project some kind of identity on somebody to hide themselves, you know. This is why a lot of people drop out of the corporate system and try to hide from it, because the corporate system is an identity war against your soul. You have one person come in and say, oh, they're great. The other person comes in, they're bad. And it's like high school games, next level, you know. Blows your mind. It really blows your mind. And a lot of times people are playing these games to get their people in, to try to move the people in. What's sad is when they move their people in, they destroy a company, you know. If you notice, a lot of these fast foods, it starts out, they build a brand new building. Everything, the line's moving fast. They hire a manager. The manager hires their people. And the business goes down. Nothing's clean. Nothing's efficient. Nothing's really running like it should. Not smooth or anything. It blows your mind. It happens even in churches. Let's say you have a spiritual gift that God gave you, but you're in a church that tries to snuff out that gift because they think you're crazy because you can see deeper things than they can see, so they don't understand you. And it was true in every generation, whether it was Elijah, all the prophets, Jesus, Apostle Paul, all of them, everywhere. They always get attacked because they're not status quo. They're not building up Jezebel. They're not a flying monkey. They're not believing a lie. They're seeing through the lies and looking at the truth. Kind of blows your mind. And so the system itself is attacking your identity. Now, some things God wouldn't let it go on if he wasn't using it for good. What the devil meant for evil, God can use for good. God allows it to go on because he's cutting out some fluff out of your life, you know. Man thinks that he's doing something great, but God is using man's ingenuity back against himself. Everything that man thinks he's doing to be some kind of master builder, master guru, God is turning it back to, for good. Because you know, you see a lot of people who are going to New Age, they get saved and they realize they were believing all that junk. You see a lot of people trying to rise up in the system, they get saved. A lot of people get saved because they look at the system and they say, it's nothing but hypocrisy. And so when you're looking out at the system, you can see that it's hypocrisy. So hopefully that allows you to look inside, see the hypocrisy inside, and eventually see your sin and eventually get saved, you know. So I'm not trying to discourage. God is, whatever you're in, whatever situation, God is using it for good. God, for, you know, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, are called according to his purpose. So he's working it all out for your good, even though it might not look like it.
That's what's happening.
That's what's happening. Really a trip. People try to put you under pressure, but when they're under pressure, they can't deal with it. Everything that people are doing to you is being done to them eventually, or the universe will flip it back and then see how they handle it. They don't handle it too good. That's the machine. You reap what you sow. The way you treat others is the way it's going to be done to you. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And don't think it ain't going to be... don't think that you can bypass that. That it's actually going to... It's going to reflect back, you know. It's going to reflect back. There's some kind of big... I haven't really put a lot of thought into it. Where there's a group of people saying, this is how to bypass your karma. I don't really understand the movement, but there's a movement about, well, this is how you bypass your karma. It's delusion. It's delusion. You reap what you sow, right? There's a universal memory. There's a universal pattern. There's a universal fabric of space-time. So think about it this way. When a person has done something and created a pattern for so long, not only have they created that pattern in their actions, but in their mind, in their soul, in their heart. This is why you see people kind of go kind of crazy. The Bible says, whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the heart. Why does that happen? How can that take away the heart? When you read verses, instead of it making you mad, instead of you changing, and I mean, instead of you not changing, instead of you getting mad, why not change and ask why? Ask yourself, why would that happen? Why does whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the heart? Ask yourself why. The Bible says it. So why does that happen? Why would that happen? Because you're creating patterns where you're looking at people as objects instead of souls. You're looking at people and situations, the new wine, the getting drunk all the time. You're starting to, your filter, your mental filter's being diminished. You're drowning out your conscious. You're drowning out your awareness. You're actually becoming a brute beast, just like an animal. Think about it. No different than a brute beast animal. Whoredom wine and new wine take away the heart. You become a brute beast. And that's not just for men. That's men and women. Whoredom wine and new wine take away heart. So, you know, the men look at the woman because she looks so nice and innocent. Nah, if she's in that, her heart probably has murder. Because if you read Galatians 5, 19, 20, 21, you'll see that it leads to murder. Murder in the heart. That's where it leads. You have no self-awareness. You have no consciousness anymore. You've seared your conscious with a hot iron. No compassion. No concern. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. That's why they call it the Me Too movement. Me, 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 me. They got to blame everybody else. They're looking at their own self. Notice how their words reveal what they are. What's that one TV character? Her name reveals what she is. I can't even remember her name. Actually, her name reveals what she is. I wish I could remember her name. I might have to put this on pause and ask somebody, because I don't. If you listen to her name, her last name, it tells you what she is. Their names reveal what they are most of the time, especially the actors. Whoopi Goldberg, that's not the one I'm talking about, but I'm trying to think about her name. Whoopi! She's living in some kind of fantasy world, you know? Fantasy island. Whoopi! Goldberg. Everything's about money. What's that lady's name? I can't remember her name. She's married to the Porsche girl, Porsche or whatever her name was. But her name tells you she's debauched. Can't remember her name. Oh, it just came to me. Ellen DeGeneres. She's degenerate. It's so obvious, not even funny, that the names are important.